peak. So we'll just speak a few things, I guess, about the Goyen and of Chaim Moshe and so on. There's so much to say, and it's so much beyond our scope, that it's really very difficult for us to, I mean, maybe speaking little is the right way to do it. I'm just going to give a certain knesh I feel is right. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Shabbos is the day that has the most hashpah of the whole week. It's bracha incarnate. That's what Shabbos is. So yes, so why did the man not come down on Shabbos? So the Zohar answers, because Shabbos gives you other days. And my mashal that is always, if you try to plug in an appliance into a main power line, you're going to blow it. You need a step-down transformer or two of them. It goes from the generators down to step down to power lines, step down to a home line, and finally to whatever your appliance is. So the Goyen really, he lived here, but he didn't live here. I mean, he lived in the heart of Vilna, but he didn't live in Vilna. Reb Chaim Shlomo used to say he was not the Rav of the Dor. Not Behuda was the Pesach of the Dor. The Vilna Goyen is higher than that. And that's why, no matter how many stories we'll tell about him and all these things like that, they're not really something that will give us a sense of it. Even his Torah is so cryptic, whether it's in Pnimius of Torah or whether it's in Halacha, it's very hard for anybody to sit down and to gain a real appreciation. It because you have no idea what he's saying. It's Rimozim. And in the Bir Agra, you have to figure out exactly where he found the Makar for the Shulchan Aruch, exactly why is it that this Makar he found was better than that Makar, and so on and so forth. And why does he say something with a Bechulu and something without a Bechulu? He was beyond. And Bimela Kemat, whatever we'll say, is really taking away from it. So the first thing is, we go to the Goyen, and like I said before, for us, the Goyen's Torah comes from Chaim Volozhin, Rams through Rabbi Isaac Chava, who was a generation later. And Rabbi Machanan Lushkov is difficult. His own sfarim are very difficult sfarim. It comes to us from people who were mefalpel in the Goyen's Bir Agra. That's where his Torah comes from us. So we recognize his greatness, but we recognize it's so far beyond us that he's not shayach to us, really, except just to know that that's a shorish for all that Torah. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin is the one who brought that Torah into the world. The Goyen himself, couldn't plug in a kehillah into the Goyen. Reb Chaim Volozhin was a bridge, and that's why it's so important and so on. So that's one general point about Reb Chaim Volozhin. The Ger Tzedek, I want to just share a fact. I think I spoke about it, but the Ger Tzedek, people started denying the Ger Tzedek. Just like there are people who like to invent stories, there are people who like to deny stories. You have them on both ends of the scale. And even though something that happened 200 years ago, and there are people around, in other words, I remember people, so people knew about this within 100 years, we knew for sure, but people like to you know, that's the Metzias. So there's Reb Shnei Lyman, who's a phenomenal historian, phenomenal, and he's a very chashid, he has a presentation. And he also knows how to present his material, and he shows the stories and where they came from, and back and back and back and back. He finally has he brings it down to Reb Nachum Mendel Shklov, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim in the mid-1800s. And there was an English missionary who came to Yerushalayim to Shema the Yerushalmi. So he wanted to have a Yerushalmi division of the Anglican Church. So he writes memoirs, he writes in newspapers that he met Rabbi Mendel of Shklov. He's the non-Hasidic rabbi of Jerusalem. And he had long conversations with him. And he asked him, like, if you people are emes, is that, how come you burnt the Ger Tzedek? And he said it's only Roman Catholics, we're barbarians, we're civilized, blah, 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 blah. So it was already like in the mid-1800s, it was already there. He then has, from Yaakov Emden, a quote 5 years after Ger Tzedek was burnt, about the Ger Tzedek being burnt. And amazing, you know, and like that's his, you know, coup de grace. I mean, 5 years afterwards, he writes about it. There are different stories and legends, and again, anything that was written down is hard. There is one that it seems to have a mocker. I believe it comes with a briska mesora, and the briskas b'derchal are excruciatingly medactic on the maises. Who the person was it strassi gasse, was it gregorian gasse, was it corner, left corner, but part of it is that they haven't sourced, and it goes as follows. There's a gersa, only the goyin, the truth is the goyin has that gersa, we have a little bit different gersa. It says, the Ger Tzedek came to him, he came to get to visit Ger Tzedek, and the Ger Tzedek told him that he's happy to go to Kiddush Hashem, but the one thing that he's terribly sad is that he never became part of Klal Yisrael. He wasn't born to Jewish parents, and not even born with Jewish children. He's basically, he may have found the Kaddish Baruch Hu, but didn't find Klal Yisrael. And the Goyen told him, there is a medrash like this, the Goyen has different gears, and with the Goyen's gears, it says, Ani Rishon v'ni Achron. So it says, Ani Rishon l'mi she'en la'av, Ani Achron l'mi she'en la'bam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Yod Davak through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is, in Yishai also, the psukim that learned like that, but upon him, that's an extraordinary story. He told that he was mitzvah, that he became part of Klal Yisrael, and he told him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you mitzvah through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael. An extraordinary story. The Ger Tzedek was a son of a graf, and he converted to Judaism. His achas dasu lahomis in those days, and he went around incognito. He was betrayed by somebody, yeah, and again, there are a lot of stories that come with it. Hard to know what, but those lines are pretty clear, and they sentenced him to death, and he died al Kiddush Hashem. That's a Vermeer Hovim Ger. I want to add another part of that. I'm not going to speak about the Goyen one that, because the Goyen is somebody that we don't have words for. But everyone knows the Goyen was arrested. And I'd like to show you why he was arrested. And unfortunately, this is like I spoke about Kovnas Labotka, and I spoke about, there was Vilna and there was the Goyen. The Rabbanus in Vilna was sold to the highest bidder for 30,000 ruble, taking over all the community's debts, plus I think something like 30,000 ruble. It was a certain person bought it. The person was not a bad person particularly, but the Rabbanus was sold to the highest bidder. It wasn't under the table. That was where he was done. At some point they became disenchanted with him, they didn't like him, some politics back and forth, and they tried to go to Bezdin. Everybody tied the other Bezdin. They couldn't go to Vilna Bezdin because obviously they were taking sides. So everybody tied everybody else's Bezdin is corrupt or full of a hulu. It ended up with people speaking to the government, getting the government involved in it. Never a good idea. And that's where the Goyen was arrested. So unfortunately, it's our own sinas chinam that actually brought a lot of destruction on us. There's an extraordinary footnote to this. And if anybody wants to know, there was a fellow, Kloisner, who was a big historian, and he wrote on Vilna books, and he has this and documented. They ended up taking the case to the church, and the church had sort of a court system, and in those days the truth was the church court and the secular court was a blurring of lines, but the same people that sent Avram Ger to death had to rule on the Rabbanus of Vilna. Unfortunately, it's important to understand that, to know that history also. So you had an incredible tkufa where the Goyen was sitting here, a malach here, and there was politics as usual. And things were happening. The Goyen got into trouble because of something like this. It's incredible to understand the fullness of the history. Al Kapanim, that's as far as the Goyen goes. We're going to see Reb Chaim Oizer's cave. Reb Chaim Oizer to us was, Reb Chaim Oizer was the one gadol in Litta. And Litta, I mean Russia, Litta, and all the areas that belonged to that part, that was the recognized Gadol Hador, similar to Reb Elchanan, except that his reach was much wider. He had to take care of the yeshivas, who were in terrible stress, especially after World War I, everything had fallen apart, all the infrastructure. It was on his shoulders. He paskined the major shaylas that were coming up. He paskined them. He dealt it's extraordinary, his sweep. He dealt with, on the one hand, preservation of yeshivas, and he was very upset when the Rabbinah Seminary tried to open up a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael with Limudei Chol. He said, for Germany, this is fantastic. For Yerushalayim, it doesn't belong. And the other hand, he worried about very secular students like Bundisten having matzahs for Pesach. He provided with money to buy stuff for Pesach. His scope of what it is that he took on his shoulders was everybody. It's somehow, looking back in history, I mean, when Europe went down, when the Churban came to Europe, possibly its biggest rav in who knows how long was the unofficial leader of it. And Reb Chaim Moshe, it's almost like a sun when it bursts, it's at its brightest, and like a nova, and then it collapses. Reb Chaim Moshe was, besides the fact that he knew everything, there are a few stories, and one of them, again, I heard from somebody who was there, where big Kiyim fought with him, he said something, somebody says, Adif, that's this daf, not the other daf. And Reb Chaim Moshe says, humiliating somebody publicly is also not a good thing. And the person backed off. He was always right. What he said was basically, I don't want to bring a Gemara because I don't want to show you up. His memory was infallible. His Rachvas Adas, his Psakim, was incredible. His Midos, more than Midos being Chesed, he had an extraordinary sense of humor and could take everybody with aplomb. And nobody had ties to Reb Chaim Moshe. Reb Chaim Moshe was somebody who everyone felt comfortable with him. His diplomacy and his ability to get along with people and his ability to deal with so much conflict. In the Vadi Yeshivas itself, every yeshiva, they were starving. So everybody had tainus. And Reb Chaim Moshe had to navigate. No one ever had. I grew up in a home, in my shver's house, where, it was everyone. Everyone had that they spoke about, big people, they sort of explained where the godless was. Reb Chaim Moshe was said in tones reserved to the Vilna Gaon. Reb Chaim Moshe was, if he said it, then there's nothing to talk about. Then it must be like that. If he acted in a certain way, and it's somehow that the brightest light possibly in who knows how many doors came when the ship was sinking. In a certain sense, the Goyen's light started the litter of that we know of, and Reb Chaim Moshe's light extinguished it. He was extinguished with it together. He died with the war, and he saved the yeshivas, came to Vilna, and he said, let everybody come to Vilna, I will take care of them. 2,500 approximately Talmidim came. That was about the sum total of Litvish yeshivas, and somehow he was able to find food for them and places for them, and then they found their way to Shanghai or to Japan or wherever it is. But there was a certain moment, it's hard not to look back and say there was a weird bubble. I mean, why did Russia give Lithuania independence? They never give independence. They only take it. I mean, it's a one-way street in Russia. They did take it afterwards. It didn't take them long. But there was a bubble of time when all of Torah came to Vilna. Reb Chaim Moshe was the captain, and he died, and Torah left Europe, never to come back again. Really, we have museums here, we have little things here, and we get inspired, but that's it. That Golos is over, and we've moved on. And some people are saving the last Nitzaitzis, and move them also on. Rabbi Shafima told me his sheet is to get them somewhere and to move them on. No, nobody wants to restart Minsk or Pinsk or anything. It's whatever we have left over, the Rechush that we have left over. But Akaponim, it's an extraordinary perspective of history that really lit to the way we understand it, started with the Goyen and Chaim Volozhin specifically, and as it finished with Chaim Moshe, that's where we are today. It's something to miss bone about. As you step back, you see a bigger picture, and you see how Ashkocha's led in a certain way, came to a certain climax, and it's gone on to the next stage. Okay. Bench.